is your friendly music station, KIXI, dial 91 AM, Seattle.
CBS News. President Ford visited his wife, Betty, Tuesday evening and says she's making unbelievable progress recovering from major cancer surgery. I'm Jim Kilpatrick reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The story from Ed Bradley in Washington.
The doctors issued a very encouraging report. The medical bulletin earlier in the day said Mrs. Ford's vital signs were stable and she appeared to be stronger. The president arrived at the hospital with a handbag, a gift from the Italian president. And after his visit, the president's remarks reflected the doctor's optimism.
She was in great spirits. I thought she made unbelievable progress. She had a lot of things for me to do. Reminding me of to do things that I had neglected around the house.
Is she anxious to get back to the White House?
Well, I don't think it's quite that far along yet, but... The doctors think she has done very, very well, and this is, of course, very encouraging.
The president was in a very relaxed mood following his visit. He stopped for a few minutes to chat with reporters and discuss plans for a winter skiing vacation. Ed Bradley, CBS News, Washington.
White House News Secretary Ron Nussen says President Ford still plans trips to Japan and Korea in mid-November despite the illness of his wife. Mr. Ford canceled his travel schedule for this week, but the White House says the president will meet an extensive campaign schedule starting next week involving 10 to 20 one-day trips. More CBS News after this. Time Magazine.
What's in it for you this week?
Cover story. The relentless ordeal of political wives.
Even before her present illness, Mrs. Gerald Ford has had to endure other psychological pressures. The all-pervasive tribulations of the wife of a politician.
This week, Time studies the lives of the women who have had to be wife,
mother,
cook,
chauffeur,
advisor,
campaigner,
and sometimes TV personality as well.
It's a revealing story of the physical and mental strain of life in a fishbowl.
In The Economy, summing up the summit. Who said what to whom and what it all achieved?
Substantively, not much, says Time, but it did give the public a much-needed lesson in economic reality.
This week, Time also takes you to Washington for the first shots of what observers are beginning to call the energy war.
To China for a sweeping survey of the 25 years of Chairman Mao.
And to Bonn and Paris, where the rapport between West German Chancellor Schmidt and French President Giscard d'Estaing brings new life to the old dream of a united Europe.
It's all in Time this week.
Pick up a copy today.
For Time makes everything more interesting.
Including you.
Authorities near Augusta, Georgia, have discovered the body of Mrs. Edie Revelle, kidnapped Monday by three gunmen. The body was found in the trunk of her car. Her husband, a local bank president, was found alive earlier Tuesday after spending more than 30 hours locked in the trunk of his car. The FBI says no ransom demand was made for Mrs. Revelle, but the gunman did force Revelle to take an undisclosed amount of money from the bank. In the Florida Democratic primary, Richard Stone has narrowly defeated William Gunther in the runoff for the Senate seat being vacated by Republican Edward Gurney. Senate House conferees have broken the deadlock over public financing of federal elections. Senate negotiators yielded to the House and dropped their fight for public financing of congressional campaigns, but tax funds would be available for campaigns of major party presidential candidates. The measure would put a ceiling on campaign contributions. A final conference is scheduled for Thursday to iron out any remaining differences. Treasury Secretary William Simon says President Ford will announce a new energy conservation program next week. Details are sketchy, but among the proposals prepared by the Federal Energy Administration are a 10 to 30 cent per gallon federal tax on gasoline. There would, however, be a tax rebate to compensate for what the government considers normal driving needs. Also under study is an excess use tax for natural gas and electricity. Former President Nixon's doctors say the blood clot in Mr. Nixon's right lung has apparently begun to clear up, and the latest tests show no new sign of a clot. Mr. Nixon is still undergoing a battery of diagnostic tests aimed at finding the basic cause of his phlebitis. The former president is expected to be released from the hospital Thursday or during the weekend at the latest. More CBS News after this.
Yeah, looks like we're the first ones here.
Hey, we'll get a crack at the big ones.
Yeah.
Got the tackle box.
Yeah, right here. Hey, that looks like a good place down there at the end of the pier. See?
Yeah.
We'll just put... Oh! Bernie, help! I
I can't swim.
I'm coming, Joe. Hang on. I'm coming.
Help.
I'll save you.
Marty, help.
Okay, Joe. Here I am. Now, don't get excited, but there's just one thing I forgot.
What?
I can't swim either.
Help!
It's one thing to be a hero, but it's quite another to become a drowning statistic. The American Red Cross has a few tips on how you can rescue someone and not even get wet. If the victim is within reach, you can lie down flat and let him grab your arm or leg. Otherwise, you can use a pole or a paddle to extend your reach. If need be, just throw him something that will float. Remember, you don't have to know how to swim to save a life. For more information, call your Red Cross.
Help!
By the way, the Red Cross has Learn to Swim courses, too.
Senator Joseph Montoya says the federal government spent $316,000 to support former President Nixon in his first 42 days as a private citizen. Montoya says the spending rate comes to about $7,000 a day and does not include the use of office equipment. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
AIXI weather. Calling for occasional rain through Thursday. Lows in the lower 50s tonight, in the mid 40s tomorrow night. Highs in the lower 60s tomorrow, in the mid 50s Thursday. Wind southwesterly, increasing to 15 to 25 miles per hour, changing to southwest Wednesday. Chance of rainfall 70% tonight, 90% during the day, 80% tomorrow night. Downtown Seattle, the barometer holding steady at 29.93, winds from the south at 10 miles per hour. It's 66 degrees. Stay tuned now for the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. In 5 seconds, 10 o'clock, 10:07 exactly.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. The story I bring you is one of the most curious I've ever encountered. For what happened to pretty little Amy Prentice shouldn't happen to, well, to you. Put yourself in Amy's place. You arrive one day at the home of your fiancé, Jack Morton, and...
Jack, darling, I'm here.
I beg your pardon?
I'm here. I mean, here I am.
You're here, all right, but who are you?
Who am I?
Look, if you're some kind of saleswoman,
Jack,
we're really not...
Please stop kidding. I'm Amy, Amy Prentice, your fiancé.
You're crazy. That's what you are. I've never seen you or heard of you in my life.
Mystery drama, The Bride That Wasn't, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by George Lowther and stars Janet Waldo and Anne Seymour. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Excuse me, sir, but do you know what happens this time of year?
Right on, pal. I happen to know that right about now, a freak blizzard falls on Dumont, New Jersey, and they're snowed in for the rest of the summer. Happens every year.
No. You see, what happens this time of year is that you can get a particularly good deal on what is perhaps the most luxurious mid-size car on the market, the mid-size Buick Century Regal.
Well, what good's a car when you're hopelessly snowed in?
Well, that's a point.
Once upon a time, there came to pass a new law, and great changes came over the people. They were happy and busied themselves at work they enjoyed. They were kind to the earth, and it gave back to them. No one had to lock doors or put fences around their land. Everyone had enough to eat. The sick and the aged were cared for. The people stood proud and tall.
In the land of make-believe, there were no poor. The Campaign for Human Development is working to make the same thing happen in our real world.
Campaign for Human Development, United States Catholic Conference.
From 17 to 25, young minds are so alive. They see things that others may not see. College is the place they learn the things they'll need when it's their turn to show the way to you and me.
College is a place where the future of America is being built right now. But colleges are in financial trouble, and they need all the help that you and I can give them. The dollars you give to the college of your choice are an investment in America's most important asset, the minds of her children. So please, give to the college of your choice now. From 17 to 25, young minds are so alive. A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Odd, unexplainable things happen to us. Sometimes we put them down to tricks of memory, a curious combination of circumstances, or an occurrence that was simply inexplicable, and have then dismissed them from our minds. Perhaps Amy Prentice should have done that, but alas, didn't. When she arrived at the home of her fiancé, Jack Morton, all set to get married, only to have Jack tell her,
I've never seen you or heard of you in my life. Goodbye.
Wait a minute. Now, wait just
you
a minute.
You heard me, sister. Beat it.
Sister? Beat it? Jack Morton, I don't know what this is all about.
What is it, Jack? What's wrong?
Yes, what seems to be the trouble?
Well, this girl claims she knows me.
Claims I know you. We're engaged. Engaged to be married.
Married? Oh, my dear young lady, you're suffering from some sort of delusion. You
that, or you're playing some sort of game. Now, you just get along out of here.
Oh, now, Mother.
I mean it, Florence. I'll call the police if she doesn't.
No, the poor girl, whatever her problem, looks terribly tired.
You'd be tired, too, if you'd come all the way from Midvale in a day coach.
Come in. Come in and at least have a cup of tea.
Oh, I don't think so. Not now. Not after this reception I just got.
Well, that's just fine with us. Take off.
Jack, how can you act this way? Oh, honey, I don't know what this is all about, but you come on in and have a cup of tea with
us. No! You get out of here. Go away or I'll call the police.
Now, Mother, you know you'll do no such thing. This young woman is obviously in some sort of trouble, and it's up to us to help her if we can. Jack, you pick up her bag and bring it in. And, honey, you come on along with me.
I don't know.
Oh, nonsense. Come on, dear. All right, Jack, bring the suitcase. Close the door. And now let's all go into the dining room and have some tea. You too, Jack. And you, Mother. Now, what's your name, honey?
Amy. Amy Prentice.
Well, you sit right there, Amy, in our poor tea, and you tell us what this is all about.
Tell you? You all act as if you'd never heard of me.
We haven't. Anyway, I haven't.
This is some kind of trick. Competent game.
Mother, please. Here we are, honey. Nice cup of tea. Now, there's milk and sugar right there if you want them, and a plate of cookies. Now, let me introduce ourselves to begin with. This is Mother Morton, Jack's, that's him, Jack's mother. And I'm Florence Morton, his wife.
Wife?
Yes, dear. So, you see, you're thinking he's your fiancé. Well, you see, that just can't be so.
Is she your wife?
Of course she is. Let me tell you once again, I don't know you. I never saw you before in my life.
But you did. You did. We met just 2 weeks ago at the conference at State Teachers College.
Now, what in blazes would I be doing at a teacher's college?
Well, you're an English teacher, aren't you?
English teacher, my foot. I'm an insurance salesman.
But you can't be. You can't be. Unless You don't have a twin brother or a double or something?
No, Amy, he doesn't.
As she very well knows, Mother.
Amy, why don't you tell us what you think this is all about? I mean, start at the beginning and, well, tell us the whole story. Perhaps we can help in, I don't know, in some way.
But he knows what happened.
Whether he does or not, you just tell us in your own words.
Well, I'm an English teacher, Midvale High School. And I attended the conference of English teachers at State Teachers 2 weeks ago. On the third day, when I was having lunch in the cafeteria.
Look, excuse me. There seems to be a shortage of tables. Do you mind if I sit down here?
No. No, of course not. Please.
Thanks. I'll just put my tray down here. There we are. Or rather, here I am. My name's Jack Morton.
Amy Prentice.
Where are you from?
Midvale.
Newark. High school English. You know, Chaucer, Shakespeare, and all that.
Well, we have a lot in common.
Mm-hmm. Including food. I see you got a BLT on whole wheat, toasted.
You too.
Mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise.
Hey, are you enjoying the conference?
Oh, yes and no.
Well, what's the no part?
Well, quite honestly, I don't go for some of the new teaching methods they're recommending.
Yeah. Like letting your students read what they want to read instead of holding them to the curriculum.
You too?
Me too.
Well, we do have a lot in common.
Yeah, I should say we do. Sure glad I asked to sit at your table.
So am I.
Amy, do you mind if I call you Amy?
No.
And you call me Jack, okay?
All right, Jack.
Well, what I was going to say, it's kind of early to ask you for a date, but, well, look, the barbecue tonight. I'm not looking forward to going alone, and I sort of wondered...
I wasn't looking forward to it either, for the same reason.
You talk about two minds with but a single thought, two hearts that beat as one. Well, how about it?
How about what?
Going to the barbecue with me. Look, the steak is going to be New York cut, my favorite.
Oh, mine too. I'd love to.
It's a date then, Amy?
It's a date. That was the first date. We saw each other from then on every chance we got, every day. And just before the end of the conference, Jack asked me... Jack, you know you did. You asked me to marry you.
Look, will you make sense? I'm married to Florence. I've been married to her for 10 years. Would I ask you or anyone else to marry me?
But you did. What do you think I'm doing here? We arranged for me to come today to meet your mother and stay here till we got married over the weekend. What? This is the engagement ring you gave me.
Now, wait a minute. Cool it, lady. You could have gotten that anywhere. You could have bought it yourself.
Amy, I know you're sincere in thinking you met Jack at that conference and that he asked you to marry him, but... Well, it's got to be some sort of delusion.
If it is, how did I know his name and address?
That you could have got out of any phone book. I don't care what you say, Florence. This girl is playing some kind of game.
I don't think so, Mother. I think she really believes what she says.
I believe it because it happened.
No, Amy, as I say, it's some sort of delusion.
Is the rose garden a delusion?
Yes. The rose garden.
Your rose garden, Mrs. Morton. Jack told me you love roses and that you're an expert at growing them, that you even exhibit them and have won prizes. Is that true?
Well, yes, but...
That window there, that picture window, does it look out on the backyard where the rose garden is?
Why, good heavens, it does, yes.
I'll describe it for you, just as Jack described it for me. There's a brick walk down the center, dividing the yard in half. You... Enter the walk through a white trellis that's covered with red and white roses. At the far end of the walk, there's a tall French fence to screen you from the neighbors. And in front of the fence, there's a fountain with a large statue of the god Pan. Is that right?
Perfectly. It's unbelievable.
I don't see anything unbelievable about it. She could have gone out back and looked at my garden before she rang the front bell.
Well, yes, that is true.
How would I know that Jack's mother exhibits her roses, wins prizes?
Oh, that's true, too, Mother.
Well, there are plenty of ways she could have found out.
Name one. You just named me one.
I could name you half a dozen. You could have asked questions around the neighborhood. And there is a record book of prize winners with stories of their backgrounds, their lives. You could have just made an educated guess. You
personally, I don't think this poor child did any of those things.
Then you explain how she knows.
I can't. No more than she can.
I have. Jack told me about that garden and all about his mother, but... Well, it doesn't matter now.
Well, what do you mean, Amy?
I mean, I don't understand it, but... Obviously, Jack doesn't want to marry me. Can't marry me. And regardless of what I think, what I believed happened, and it did, I know it did. Well, it doesn't matter.
Well, where are you going?
Back where I came from, of course, Midvale. Thanks for the tea.
I'll be happy to take your bag to the
door.
Oh, now,
just one minute. Just one minute. Amy, you can't go back to Midvale today.
Why not?
There's only one train from Newark to Midvale. I happen to know because I have a friend I visit in the asylum there. And that leaves at 9:30 in the morning.
Well, I'll stay somewhere. At a hotel.
You do no such thing. You'll spend the night here. With us.
I can't have that. I won't have it, Florence. I'm not letting some tricky little character like her stay the night under my roof.
Mother, we can't put her out. That simply wouldn't be decent. Human. No, I insist. She's got to spend the night, have a good, refreshing sleep. And then I'll drive her to the station after breakfast in the morning.
I really can't put you out like this.
Not another word, Amy. I won't take no for an answer. Let me show you to the guest room. Bring her suitcase, Jack.
Okay.
You come along too, Mother.
You don't need me.
Oh, yes, we do.
What for?
Why, I think it's going to be a chilly night. And you know where the extra blankets are.
So do you, Florence.
Please.
Come on, Mom.
I'm really sorry to bother you like this. And, look, you needn't trouble about an extra blanket. The weather's warm, really.
Here we are.
Oh, wait. Wait, before you open the door.
Yes?
Jack described the room where I'd be staying, the guest room. I can tell you exactly what it looks like.
Oh, you couldn't possibly.
There's a big dormer window, like all old houses have, and chintz curtains.
Good heavens.
A big easy chair with an ottoman. The bed has a canopy, and the rug, it's a woven rug, oval, with a design of roses.
But this is incredible. Huh? Jack, you didn't meet Amy at State Teachers, did you? You didn't propose marriage.
Oh, come off it, Florence.
Well, this is the strangest thing because... Well, Amy, you've described the room perfectly. Now here, see for yourself.
Yes. Just as Jack described it.
Well, there's no understanding this. I just can't fathom it. You must have second sight. Or something.
No,
No more talk now. You're tired and upset. And what you need is a good nap. Dinner won't be for several hours. I'll call you when it's ready.
Thank you.
And you can look forward to dinner. We're having steak. New York cut, no less. Jack adores steak. New York cut.
Quiet, Amy.
Jack!
Quiet, I said. Just listen to me, darling.
Darling?
The dearest, most darling girl in the world.
But
look, there's no time to explain. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I've got to get you out of here fast. I can't take a chance on my wife waking up and finding me gone.
You are married. Florence is your wife.
Yes, but we did meet, you and I do love you and want to marry you.
Oh, marry me when you're already married?
Please, stop talking. Get this robe on. We've got to move fast.
Where are we going?
Out of this house.
In robe and slipper.
Look, I'll explain later. Come on now, let's go.
Where? Go where, Jack?
Florence.
Your wife, standing in the door with an axe in her hand. Oh, Jack. Jack, what does this mean?
does it mean? Why does Jack want to get Amy out of that house as fast as he can? What is Florence, his wife, doing with an axe in her hand? One thing is virtually sure. However incredible events for Amy have been up to now, they are as nothing to what lies ahead. I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your cold to contact. The sooner the better.
The common cold is a rotten thing. You miss so much. Sneezing, drips, and congestion can drag you down. Then ask yourself the contact question. 6 or 3 or 1? You'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of Cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact for up to 12 hours continuous relief of those symptoms. That's daytime, then nighttime relief. Both the others have things for aches and fever, and the liquid, something for coughs. Not found in Contact 600 Tiny Type pills.
Give your cold to Contact.
6 or 3 or 1. Take Contact. Only as directed.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
Hey, honey, this looks like a good deal. No payment for 3 months on easy credit terms.
But Lou, don't you think we should be sure we can meet the payments?
She's right, Lou. Shop for credit as carefully as you shop for products.
Who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Now, before you decide to buy anything on time, ask yourself if you could make the payments out of your regular income. How far is your credit extended now? Have you any credit or cash reserve to cover an unexpected illness or loss of job?
Gee, thanks. Maybe I better think it over. Thanks for your advice.
Not at all. Just another consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
K. Chesterton was fond of saying that an adventure was merely an inconvenience viewed in the right light. Perhaps then one may say that the incredible is merely the credible viewed in the wrong light. However that may be, to come to the home of a man you expect to marry and to discover him already married, and on top of that, to find yourself facing his wife at 2 in the morning with an axe in her hand.
Really, Amy? Mother was right about you after all. You are playing tricks.
Oh, no. No, I assure you.
Then what is my husband doing in your room at 2 o'clock in the morning and you in your nightgown?
I can explain.
Do that, Jack. Please do.
First, give me the axe, Florence.
Tempted to ask where you'd like it. Just explain your presence in Amy's room, Jack.
Well, I thought I heard her cry out. I thought she might be in trouble. I came to see if she was all right.
It's just a nightmare, Florence. I had a nightmare.
That's hardly surprising with all you've been through.
Well, I guess so.
Could I have the axe now, Florence?
Oh, of course. Here. You see, I heard you cry out too, Amy.
You did?
Yes. And I thought there might be an intruder in the house. Burglar, something like that.
You keep an axe in your bedroom?
Well, it's an old house. Very old. Our bedroom, Jack's and mine, has a fireplace in it. We keep a small supply of wood there. And sometimes it has to be split. You didn't think I was going to chop you, did you?
No.
Well, Jack and I will go back to our bedroom now. Come, Jack. Oh, and Amy.
Yes?
Try not to have any more nightmares. More toast and marmalade, Amy?
Thank you, no.
Coffee, then.
No, frankly, I'm anxious to get started. Get that train for Midvale. I, I don't want to miss it.
You won't miss it. Plenty of time.
Well, there really isn't, Florence. There's just under half an hour, and it takes 15 minutes to reach the station.
I know, I know.
So, I think we'd better get started, Amy. Your bag's packed and in the hall, so let's go.
You?
Well, I'll drive it to the station.
I was planning to do that.
No, I'll do it.
No, Jack, no. Waste of gas.
I mean, waste. You take her or I take her. What's the waste?
I have to go into town, shopping to do for the weekend. And you don't.
I see.
I can do my shopping at the same time.
Yes, I see.
So that'll mean only one round trip instead of two.
I said I see, Florence.
Saves gas.
Yes.
Well, if we're going to get started...
Oh, but first you must see the Rose Garden.
No, no,
Yes. I mean, how can you even think of leaving without seeing it? In some unaccountable way, you do know what it looks like, but, well, if I were you, I'd want to see it for myself.
Well, there isn't time.
Of course there is. Take a moment. Let's all go to the Rose Garden. And aren't these lovely? Hybrid teas.
Yes, but, you know, time...
And this Rambler. Isn't it gorgeous?
Yes. Oh, yes, you're certainly to be complimented, Mrs. Morton.
Thank you. Oh, but this isn't her garden, you know. It's mine, really.
But Jack said...
Jack said? Jack couldn't have said anything. How could he? Since you didn't meet him till yesterday. Or did you? Did you meet her at State Teachers, Jack?
I've told you, I never saw her before in my life.
Yes, but I've been thinking. You know how I am? Oh, it's thinking. Sometimes my head aches terribly.
Oh, please, we're going to miss my train.
I think about so many things. Now, you take this Rose Garden. She gets the credit for it. Always has got the credit for it. But I'm the one who designed it, created it, planted it. Even your father had to admit it was beautiful, Jack. Remember?
Yes.
Oh, how that man hated me, reviled me, scorned me. But even he admitted that my Rose Garden was a thing of beauty.
Florence, we've got to go. Now, if Amy's going to get her train.
Yes. Oh, yes. But first, I wanted to see these Floribunda. Aren't they gorgeous?
They are, yes.
Note the deep, dark red of the blossoms. Very dark. Very deep red.
Lovely.
Do you know why?
Cultivation, I suppose.
Blood.
Blood?
Mr. Morton's blood. Jack's father's blood. This is where we found him. Hacked to bits.
Oh, Jack.
Easy, Mom. Easy, Mom.
Blood had poured onto the soil. Into it. Saturating it. Would you believe that before that day, these roses had been rather weak, skimpy, subject to all sorts of diseases? But afterwards, they'd literally burgeoned with health and beauty. Would you believe that?
Now, look, whether I believe it or not, we can't stay here another second.
Why not?
My train, that's why not. The only daily train to Midvale. Are you deliberately trying to make me miss it?
But of course not. What a thing to say. I only wanted you to see the Rose Garden.
Well, now that I've seen it, let's go. Please.
Whatever you say, whatever you say.
I'll go along too, Florence.
You, Mother? Whatever for?
Some shopping myself.
Well, why not? We'll all go together. You too, Jack.
Well, no. I'll stay here.
Not a chance, Jack. Not a chance.
Oh, excuse me, but while we're doing all this talking, time is slipping by. I don't want to miss that train.
Of course you don't. But before we go, I do want you to know, Amy, what a pleasure it's been having you stay with us.
Thank you.
Of course, you haven't enjoyed it, poor dear. But never mind. You're sure to find a husband. So attractive, so pretty.
Could we go now?
Come on. Come on, Jack, Mother, Amy, get in the car. We just have time to make the Midvale train. Luckily, as you see, Amy, the garage fronts on the street.
Luckily?
Well, we can drive right out into the street and not waste time. Drive right straight out. Yes. Now, if the garage was in the back of the house, waste time, a minute or two, and we don't have it to waste.
Could we get started?
Oh, you are in a hurry.
Well, you said yourself we don't have any time to spare.
That's why you don't have to tell me.
I'm sorry.
I should think you would be. Well, here we go.
Something wrong?
Damp, I guess. Suppose you let me drive, Florence. How can you drive, Mother, if the car won't start? No time to spare, and it won't start.
Look, I'll get a taxi.
The time a taxi gets here, your call and everything, you'd miss the train.
But we're certainly not going to get anywhere this way. The battery's wearing down.
Correction. It's worn down.
Oh, no. Well, that means I'll never make the train to Midvale.
Well, now, I resent that, Amy. You sound as if spending another night with us here would be most unpleasant to you.
Oh, no. No, no, I
didn't
mean...
We did try to make everything as pleasant as possible for you. Back in the house, all.
Look, if I went down to the corner and got a cab...
Amy.
Yes?
Do as Florence says.
Of course, Jack. Of course.
Out of the car. Back in the house, all.
Oh, look. A taxi. A taxi pulling up right in front. Oh. Oh, good heavens, I forgot. Joe.
Joe? Who's Joe?
Oh, my brother. All the excitement and all, I forgot. He was coming to give me away.
Okay, driver, thanks.
Oh, no, Joe, wait. Keep that cab. Driver, don't drive off. Wait.
It's all right, driver. Go on.
No, no, wait. Please wait. Joe, hold that cab.
Amy.
Driver.
What the world?
Driver, wait.
Go on, driver. Go on. We don't need you.
For criminy's sake, go stay. Go stay.
He's gone. He's gone.
Amy, baby, sis, what is this?
Oh, she's all upset. All upset. I'm Florence Morton. How do you do?
Oh, Joe Prentice, Amy's brother. Amy, what's...
You understand, Joe. I may call you Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Amy's all upset. You know how it is, getting married for the first time. Nerves.
Oh, sure.
Joe!
You Jack Morton?
Yes, I am.
Ah, glad to meet you, Jack. Great pleasure. And you're Jack's sister, huh?
She's
Let's all
my...
go into the house. Come on now, come on. Have you had breakfast, Joe?
I have something on the train.
Well, you want more than that. Eggs, bacon, toast, and marmalade, hot coffee. In the house, everybody.
No.
Amy, in the house. Hey, what's going on here? You're all acting like... Well, I don't know. You're...
Wedding plans, Joe. Wedding plans. Everybody uptight. You understand.
Yeah, sure. Florence, is it?
Florence. Everybody in... Everybody in. Well, now, here we are. All together once again.
Joe.
Yeah, Amy?
Joe, there's something crazy going on in this house. Something real crazy.
Now, Amy, honey.
Joe, listen to me. There's something wrong. I don't know what it's all about. I don't know what's happening, but Jack says he never saw me before in his life.
What?
And never proposed marriage to me, and then... He did. And she, his wife, she came to my bedroom with an axe in her hand.
For chimney's sake, hold it. Amy, you're not making sense.
Oh, I know I'm not, because what's happening here, what's happened to me, doesn't make sense.
Look,
either.
Will somebody explain this?
I'll explain it. Mr. Prentice, Joe, a mistake of some kind has been made.
Mistake?
Your sister, she... Well, I haven't wanted to spell this out in so many words, but since you're here now and can take care of her, Joe, I'm afraid your sister is crazy.
You're afraid my sister is crazy?
Well, she came here yesterday afternoon, arrived just out of the blue, out of nowhere, saying she'd come to marry my husband.
You don't mean him?
Yes, him. Jack. My husband.
He's your...
My husband, Jack, yes. Somehow your sister has got it into her head that they met at teacher's conference and he proposed marriage, but, well, it's ridiculous.
You, Jack. You say you never met Amy? No.
Jack, last night in my room...
Now, hold it, Amy, just hold it. Let me try to get this thing straight. You didn't meet her at a teacher's conference? State Teachers College?
Not me. I'm an insurance salesman.
This is plain screwy. Amy, if you say you met him and he asked you to marry him, I say you met him and he asked you to marry him. But he says...
I never saw her, talked to her, knew anything about her until she arrived here yesterday.
I see. Well, either you're a liar, Mr. Morton, or you're crazy. If anybody around here has lost his marbles, you have, not her. Now, Amy, what do you want to do about this?
I just want to get out of here.
And that's what we'll do. Where's the phone?
Over there, but I'm afraid
you... Let me just call a cab and we'll blow.
You can't.
You going to stop me?
The phone's out of order.
Now, we'll see about that. That's dead, all right. No wonder. The wire's been pulled out of the box on the wall. Now, what is going on here? Who pulled those wires out of the box and why? Come on, damn it, answer me. Who and why?
You're like Jack's father. All male. He was a Taurus. A bull. Strong, masculine, like you. He thought, like you.
What are you, some women's liver?
I'm me. I'm Florence Morton. And I don't take anything from you or anybody else. His father learned that the hard way.
What do you mean, the hard way?
She killed him. With an axe.
Killed him. Killed him. Hacked him to pieces.
He had to be killed. I certainly wasn't going to live out my life with him dominating me. Stupid, he called me. Stupid. Like that. One day I said to him, you call me stupid once more and I'll kill you. We're in the garden. Maybe you noticed there's a woodpile in one corner, Amy.
Yes.
And there was this axe he used for splitting wood. You know what he did?
No.
Guess.
Please.
He picked up the axe and handed it to me. Go ahead, he said. Kill me, stupid. Was he surprised?
Hacked him to bits. To bits.
Amy, come on. We're getting out of here.
Goodbye, Joe. Goodbye, Amy.
Goodbye. This door is locked. It's bolted on the inside.
Oh, I thought you knew. You didn't see me bolt and lock it when we came in?
All right, give me the key.
So you can unlock it?
What else?
Uh-uh.
Now look, you...
Joe, please, don't cross her. Please, don't cross her. She'll kill us all.
Joe.
Take it easy, Amy. We're not dead yet.
Not yet, Joe. Not quite yet.
Ever been face to face with a homicidal maniac? With everything stacked against you? Happily, I never have, and hope you never have either. But Amy and Joe are. And so are Jack and his mother. What I can't figure out is why Jack, with a homicidal wife at home, ever proposed marriage to Amy. Well, we'll have the answer to that when I return shortly with Act 3.
There's nothing wrong with drinking Budweiser sip by sip, is there? Well, the brewers of Budweiser think there's a better way. Sipping's fine if you're drinking wine. But Bud is the king of beers, a hearty drink. Look, rinse a 10 or 12 ounce glass with cold water. Then open a can or bottle of Bud and pour it right down the middle so it kicks up a good head of foam. Now, take a big drink and then swallow big. No sips. That's how it should be done. More taste, more beer drinking enjoyment. Thanks to exclusive Beechwood aging, Budweiser has a smoothness that lets it go down especially easy. Sure, it's an expensive way to brew beer, but brewing beer right does make a difference. That's why, when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Some people think we play ping pong all day. They're wrong. The USO isn't all fun and games. Today, the USO has millions of problems like this one in Germany.
My family's going crazy living in a tiny apartment. Where can we live?
Today's USO has millions of problems, like this one in Asia.
I'm hooked on drugs. Where can I get help?
Or this problem in Athens.
Our marriage is breaking up. Can you help us?
Today's USO has little time for ping pong. We've got serious work to do. We've got lots of new problems here and overseas. The problems are big. How big? Well, if someone asks you, who needs the USO? Tell them,
we do! We do!
Over 5 million American military personnel and their families need today's USO. And because we get no government funds, we need all your support. Please give to USO through the United Way or local USO campaign.
Terror can be a thing so palpable you can feel it. Clammy to your touch. Ice cold in your veins. A taste of brass in your mouth. Certainly, this is what Amy Prentice feels, along with the Mortons and her brother Joe, as Florence Morton makes all too clear the fact that they are not going to leave the old house on Hilliard Street alive.
Look, Florence, I don't get any of this. I don't get any of it except... all this hate you got in you, you can't blame my sister for it, and you can't blame me. So we're leaving, now.
No.
Joe, she's got a gun.
I can see that, Amy. Question is, will she use it?
Yes, she'll use it, all right. You better understand something, Joe. She's a killer, a homicidal maniac.
And what the hell is she doing here? Why isn't she in an asylum?
She was. She escaped just a day before I got back from the teacher's conference.
Jack!
Amy, I am sorry, so sorry. I pretended I'd never seen you before, tried to get you to leave before you set foot in this house because Florence was right there behind me all the time and I knew she'd kill you sooner or later. Kill you.
9 years. 9 long years. They kept me in that place. But I knew. I always knew someday I'd get out.
Jack, if you're married to her...
No, I'm not. Not anymore. I had the marriage annulled a year ago. The authorities agreed Florence would never be cured.
So where are these authorities now? Didn't they figure she'd head straight for this house?
They telephoned to let me know she'd escaped. Asked me to notify them if she did come here. And all the time I was talking on the phone, she had a gun against my head.
You're going to die. You're all going to die.
Not if I can help it, lady.
You can't help it. There isn't a thing you can do.
We'll see about that. One thing I don't believe in is just standing here waiting for you to kill us. Me, I fight fire with fire.
Oh? And just how do you think you... fight fire with fire? Fire!
Florence, what are you thinking?
Be quiet, Jack. I'm thinking. Fire. You know, Joe, you've given me the idea I was looking for.
I gave you...
I've been wondering how to kill you all at once. And now I know. Into the kitchen.
What for?
You see, Mother. Into the kitchen, all. And now, Jack, dear, loving husband, open the cellar door.
You're taking us down to the cellar?
Putting you down in the cellar, Jack. Open the door. Now, down into the cellar with you. You lead the way, Jack.
Look, Florence.
Don't argue, Jack. Just go.
My leg, all right?
Oh, Joe.
You may be able to fight fire, Joe, but you can't fight bullets.
Oh.
Now, Amy, help your brother down into the cellar.
Joe.
Take it easy, sis.
Oh.
Oh, the pain is...
You're bleeding.
I'll be okay. She hit me in the side. Fleshy part. You better let me have a look at that wound, Joe, okay? Okay.
Let him bleed to death, Jack. It'll be easier for him. Sorry I can't make it easier for you all.
Oh, she's locked us in down here. Is there another door?
No, there's not even a window. We're trapped. Absolutely no way out.
Is there any way of breaking that door down? Prying it open,
no, maybe? No, Joe, this is an old house. It's built when they really build them. Break that door down? No way.
Ow.
Look, try to hold still. It's not that bad, but it's bleeding quite a lot. I've got to stop the bleeding. Look, Amy.
Yes, dear.
Just around that corner, you'll find a desk.
I, Dad?
Yeah, I have my office set up there. Oh. In the bottom drawer on the right, you'll find a first aid kit. Now bring it here, will you?
Yes.
Oh, Jack, what are we going to do? How are we going to get out of here?
Mom, if I had the answer to that...
Jack, there's a telephone here on your desk.
Yeah, with the wires pulled out of the wall box. Florence didn't miss a trick.
Oh, yes. Oh, they are pulled out.
Look, hurry with that first aid kit.
Here it is, Jack. Here.
Thanks. Have you patched up in a jiffy, Joe? Though much good it'll do you, I'm afraid.
Don't lose your nerve. Me, I've been in worse binds than this. Vietnam, for one. My work, for another.
What do you do, Joe?
I'm a cop. New York City Police Force. Well, I've been in spots that make this look like... Hey, wait. She's up there. That's not the kitchen.
No, it's the living room, right above us.
What was that?
She put something down on the floor. Something heavy made of metal. What could it be, Jack?
I don't know, unless it's... Wait a minute.
What, Jack? What?
Metal? Fire? I keep a can of gasoline in the garage for the lawnmower.
How big a can?
2 gallons.
Was it full?
I'm afraid so, and I'm afraid I'm right. I smell gasoline.
Oh, it's dripping down through the floorboards above us. She's going to set the house on fire. She's going to burn it down around our heads.
Kill herself, the poor crazy woman.
Florence! Florence, listen to me! Florence, you'll kill yourself! Strike a match and the gasoline fumes. The fumes, Florence, they'll explode.
You're right. She lights that stuff. She'll never get out alive.
Florence, will you listen? Will you please listen?
Oh, God, she's done it. The house this old. It'll go up like a haystack, a dry haystack.
We're all going to die. Burned alive.
Oh, no.
We got to try that door. We got to see if when we break it down. Jack, give me a hand. We'll both get our shoulders against it. When I give the word.
What?
What? I'll forget it. The door's hot already. Flames on the other side. Even if we got it open, we'd never get out. There's got to be something we can do.
What is the neighbors?
Neighbors?
Well, they'll see the house burning. Call the fire department.
Well, what good will that do us?
They'll rescue us. Get us out of here.
Amy, honey, they don't know we're down here.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Just one chance. Just one chance.
What, Joe?
Telephone.
No. I told you. Florence pulled the wires out of the wall box.
We got to see. Can we connect them again?
You think you can? Or do you?
Jack. What? Thank God you set up your office down here with a phone. If we can reconnect those wires... Let's get this wall box open. You got any tools down here?
Yeah, top drawer of my desk. One of those little kits. Here, what do you want?
Get a screwdriver.
Yeah, here you go.
Now, get this lid open.
Right. Easy.
Yeah, it's coming.
Oh, right. Hurry, Joe, hurry.
There, off of the lid.
Oh, good.
Oh, no.
What?
3 wires. Red, blue, and green. 3 poles to attach them to.
So attach them.
Yeah, but which wire to which pole?
The house! Hey. Oh, it's falling!
Look, Joe,
falling.
Joe, try something.
What do you think I'm doing? See. Red to this pole. Blue to this one. Green here. All right, see, can you get a dial tone?
No, nothing. Try again. Joe, move it.
Let's see. Put the red here. Blue. There. And green on this pole. Okay. Anything, Jack?
That's it. I got a dial tone.
We'll use it. Get the operator.
This is your operator. May I help you?
Operator, I'm calling from a burning house. 37 Hilliard Street. The fire department's just arriving, but they don't know we're in the cellar. We're in the cellar. Amy.
What?
Here. Oh. Fire chief just gave me another thermos of coffee. Have some more.
Oh, thanks, Jack. Joe?
They've got Joe in the ambulance unit over there. Oh. They're really patching up his leg.
Isn't he wonderful? I think I've got the most wonderful brother in the world.
Well, I
think he's got the most wonderful sister in the world.
I'm sorry about Florence.
Lord knows I am, too, but it's better this way. Mom, are you okay?
Even the rose garden is gone. The heat killed everything.
Maybe that's better, too, Mom.
Oh, how could it be?
How? I'm going to see to it you have another house, another rose garden, without the memories that went with this one. Memories we're all going to do our best to forget.
So, what began as mystery, created by Florence Morton, ended as tragedy for Florence Morton. And perhaps for the best, as Jack said. She is at peace now, and if in death she has not found a better world, as we very much hope she has, she's at least out of this one, which brought her so much unhappiness. I'll be back shortly.
Pardon me, miss.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell me what happens this time of year?
Rhubarb reaches its peak.
Nope.
Muskmelon reaches its peak.
No.
Oh, well, does it in any way involve something reaching its peak?
No, not really.
Oh.
What happens this time of year is that you can get a really outstanding deal on Buick's small but surprisingly elegant Apollo. And with what's happening to prices, you may never have a better chance to buy a Buick, huh?
Hey, I know what happens.
Yeah?
The buzzards come back to Hinckley Ridge, Ohio.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
I hadn't thought of that.
Oh, boy. Do I have a headache. Why do they have to make these caps so hard to open?
For a very good reason. Children open things that they shouldn't. That's why we have safety packaging. For the life of your child, you can live with a little inconvenience. For further information, write the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, Washington, D.C., 20207.
Jack and Amy Morton are happily married now. Amy no longer teaches, at least not in school, because she has two youngsters to keep her more than busy. The boy is named Joe. The girl, Florence. As for Mother Morton, she has another garden, but not roses, vegetables. Well, everything costs so much these days. The cast included Janet Waldo, Ann Seymour, Loreen Tuttle, Bill Quinn, and Bernard Barrow. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
Your husband isn't thinking straight, Mrs. Breach. It isn't that easy. You think that Harney will be satisfied if I let him live? If I walk off this job, somebody else walks in. This isn't the only gun in the world.
He's right, Eddie. Maybe the only way is to give him the money back.
There's nothing to give back. You think money stands still in this business? Look, maybe if we left town, went to Mexico or someplace.
Arnie won't give up that easy. It means too much to him.
Well, I'm not staying here. I'm getting out. I'm getting as far away as I can.
Eddie.
Both of us, Connie. I meant both of us.
You expect me to run in a wheelchair? Maybe Mr. Derry can tell us what to do.
I can think of only one thing. Joe Harney wants a dead body. That's what we'll have to give him.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
beautiful music. This is KIXI, dial 91 AM, Seattle.
At the tone, the time, 11 o'clock exactly, and news from CBS.
CBS News, the kidnapped wife of a Georgia bank official has been found dead. I'm Ann Crosman, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The FBI in Augusta, Georgia, says that they have found the body of Mrs. E.B. Revell in the trunk of her car on a dirt road west of the city. An autopsy will be performed to find out what caused her death. Mr. Revell says that three men who were wearing ski masks kidnapped his wife on Monday and then told him they wanted an undetermined amount of ransom money. Mr. Revell says that he delivered the money and then was locked in the trunk of his car. He was found unharmed Tuesday. More CBS News in a minute.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean Sinoff.
Exactly.
Exactly right. When sinus flares up with congestion and pain, insist on Sinoff tablets. Sinoff delivers a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sinoff helps sinus pain while you drain. Use only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff.
Exactly.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box.
A variety of assistance is available to the blind. Rehabilitation and library services can be had in every part of the nation. Cash payments for the needy and training in skills and techniques. You can help. For information, contact your local affiliate of the National Federation of the Blind or write me, Kenneth Jernigan, President, National Federation of the Blind, 218 Randolph Hotel Building, Des Moines, Iowa, 50309.
65 prospective jurors in the Watergate cover-up case go back to federal court on Wednesday to face more questions from Judge John Sirica. Sirica already has excused 90 prospective jurors who told him on Tuesday that they would be inconvenienced by serving on a jury for possibly 3 to 5 months. Jed Duval has a report on the process of jury selection for this trial.
The jurors fill 6 rows, nearly the width of the giant ceremonial courtroom in the federal court building. 170, they form a pool from which to select the jury. If more are needed, another pool, just as large, a third and a fourth, can be called on. One at a time, they go before the judge and the lawyers to discuss being sequestered, probably until after Christmas, many giving excuses why they cannot spare that amount of time. The process, including the defense and prosecution challenges, is extraordinary. It will take a week or more. Then this event is extraordinary. A former attorney general, the two men who were closest to the president of the United States, and two others, on trial in the city where the name Watergate has dominated news and conversation for more than 2 years. A major defense claim is that a fair jury cannot be assembled in this city simply because of all that talk for all that time. So, choosing the jury will take a long while, and courtroom trial action is many days away. Jed Duval, CBS News, at the federal court in Washington.
The standoff continues in Santo Domingo, where terrorists have been holding hostages for nearly 5 days. Ed Rabel tells us what happened on Tuesday.
Santo Domingo Archbishop Polanco says terrorists holding 7 hostages in the Venezuelan consulate have denied that they have given up any of their original demands, which included a ransom of $1 million and the release of about 3 dozen political prisoners. Monsignor Polanco said the guerrilla leaders expressed to him anger over news reports that they would accept a new deal with the government in which only one political prisoner, Plinio Matos Machete, would be released in exchange for the lives of the hostages and no ransom would be paid. Machete is the main leader of the leftist anti-government organization carrying out the kidnapping. Polanco indicated that any negotiations the terrorists may be having with the government are moving very slowly and that it might be 2 or 3 days before the ordeal is ended. Ed Rabel, CBS News, Santo Domingo.
The latest on Betty Ford after this.
Orthopedic technician 102.
Dr. Bostic, bell operator.
Dr. Martin.
Is the practice of good medicine affected by malpractice suits? That's one of the questions to be raised during our big weekend special on the progress of American medicine, Saturday and Sunday, October 12th and 13th. I'm George Herman, CBS News, and we've invited leading medical authorities to participate in 30 special broadcasts on a wide range of subjects concerned with what's being done for this nation's health. New treatments, new drugs, new concepts will be examined. How do politics affect medical procedures? And is the quality of technology much more advanced than the quality of service? Just how does American medicine stack up in sickness and in health? Listen to The Progress of American Medicine, the weekend of Saturday and Sunday, October the 12th and the 13th, here on the CBS Radio Network.
President Ford says that his wife has made what he calls unbelievable progress and was in great spirits Tuesday night when he visited her. He also said she reminded him of some chores that he should do around the White House. We had a lot of laughs, said the president. It was a wonderful evening. Mrs. Ford is recovering from cancer surgery at Bethesda Naval Hospital. Miami lawyer Richard Stone has won the Democratic nomination to the Florida Senate seat, vacated by Republican Edward Gurney. Stone beat Congressman Bill Gunter by about 10,000 votes in a runoff on Tuesday. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, KIXI, 6 minutes past 11 o'clock.